Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Still stuck on hold and paying too much for insurance? Switch to M&M Insurance Agency. Real people, real options, real savings. Call 601-651-6001 or visit M&MInsuranceAgency.net today.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
I was pleased. Our goals were pretty simple. Come ready to go today. I thought they did. It was really hot. Knew it was going to be hot. Needed it to be hot. At one point, it was 126 on the turf. And I really felt like for the day, they tried to play hard. I'm sure some of it's going to be ugly on tape and sloppy, but nobody griped. Nobody complained. Thought guys tried to give us what we wanted. We didn't have a lot of undisciplined penalties. Turnovers was the biggest key. You want the defense to create them, but you want the offense to protect it. So I'm going to lose either way. But some really good teaching moments and enough positive on both sides to be excited about, just the ability to create some stuff, and we just got to clean up the rest. But we didn't have any significant injury. Nobody significant, just bumps and bruises. And that's really, for that many plays, that's my biggest key, is to get a good work day without losing anybody.
All right, football is well underway. That's Blake Anderson following Saturday's live scrimmage at the Rock. Welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bank Corps studio here in Hattiesburg. Bob, Dima, and Kelly. Opening segment of our show today, as it is every day. Sponsored by our friends at Movie Star Restaurant, Great Buffets, Monday through Friday. And on Sunday, of course, good dinner buffet and dinner menu on Friday night as well. Movie Star Restaurant, serving the Pine Belt for over 25 years. Dima, scrimmage number one under the belt. You heard what Coach just said. It was hot. Nobody got hurt, although there is an injury to report on the quarterback. But overall, your observations of this first live contact scrimmage.
All right, I have 21 quick points. So if you'll spare with me, Dima. Or how much time do we have? Do we have two segments?
As members of the media, yes. Are we allowed to ask you questions about your 21 points?
Absolutely. Okay. Yes. So why don't I do 10 now?
I'll do
10 points now. Get your thoughts, and then we'll do 10 in the next segment. Does that work? I know that's not 21, but, I was homeschooled.
Let's just not go back to the pre-show conversation that was taking place here.
Yes. Right, we were talking about my strange addictions, and Kelly brought up a few he has.
So that's all you need to know.
Hope those mics weren't on. All right, first and foremost, Ethan Hampton injury. That is the biggest news out of the fall scrimmage, the first scrimmage that we saw. First thing to report on from him is he started the day with the ones. Okay, so he comes out and does exactly what they need him to do. He goes straight down the field on the defense. I mean, I'm talking like bam, bam, bam. He was 3 for 3, 34 yards. There was an RPO play right at the end of that drive where he steps back to pass. He gets the ball out to Steven Robinson at the running back, and his thumb hits one of the defender's helmets. Now, they said, at the time, I didn't even know it had happened until about three drives later, when I'm like, where in the world is Hampton? Why is he not back in there? And then, we get our binoculars out. We're sitting in the press box. So we're looking, where is he? Like, we don't even see him on the sideline. And then we're like, that's not good. And about 30 minutes later, we see him coming out of the Duff Athletic Center with a towel over his head, no helmet, with a trainer. He comes out and, our initial thought was just heat exhaustion. I mean, it was hot out there. He's not from Mississippi, so, it would be unexplainable. But then he's holding his hand in an awkward way, his throwing arm, and then a trainer comes over after he comes out of the Duff, looks at his hand and says, and points towards the Athletic Center, and then they all three go back in, and we haven't seen him since the rest of the day. So we asked Blake Anderson about it, and he said that it was a minor contusion, and that the x-rays that they showed were negative, and that they expected him back soon. Now, important note, today at practice, I was there this morning at practice, saw Hampton there, no helmet, was in a ball cap, did not even touch a football, didn't even pick one up, which if anybody is familiar with this kind of injury, that is never a good sign, in my opinion.
A couple of seasons ago in the NFL, that's a similar...
Drew Brees.
And Joe Burrow yes. actually had this similar kind of thing where the thumb comes down on top of a helmet. And normally you wouldn't think that that would be all that problematic, but at full speed, obviously it is.
Yeah, when you can't grip the football, though, that's pretty big.
Yes.
And so we will see. I have not heard anything as far as surgery. You know, that would be kind of worst-case scenario. But when I did see his arm today, there was no noticeable wrap. There was no noticeable tape. So yeah. I think that that's good news. The only bad news is that I didn't even see him pick up a football. You know, normally when quarterbacks kind of injured or throwing on, they're still kind of just tossing one around in their hands. They're always doing something. But I didn't even see him pick up a football. Now, second point, quarterback production. So these are the other two quarterbacks, so Lance Lilly and John White, now obviously inserted into this huge role in the scrimmage that we weren't expecting them to have.
Which we talked about last week.
Yes.
With, you know, Southern Miss team, you better be ready.
They combined with 462 passing yards combined between the both of them. So second and third point, Lance Lilly, 16 of 24 with 212 yards, two interceptions. John White, 13 of 23, 216 yards with one interception. Biggest concern, and this is point four, this is point five, biggest concern was turnovers. The defense recorded three interceptions, including a pick six, almost got another pick six. Two additional interceptions were erased by penalties. So in total, almost five interceptions between those two quarterbacks. And that's something that was very much a concern because it wasn't like, at least in my opinion, because, and you kind of heard it what Blake Anderson said in that little spiel that we recorded there. You know, I like seeing turnovers from a defense, but I don't want the offense to put the ball in position to be turned it over. So he's kind of like, I like what I see in my defense, but I don't like what I, you know, it's almost like a damned if you do, damned if you don't sort of thing, right? But my thought was, I think it's different if the quarterback is throwing a really good play and the defense just makes a good play on it. That's different than what I was seeing on Saturday. What I was seeing on Saturday was bad decisions, late decisions, and caused turnovers. That's something you don't want to see. So that's concerning. And right now, guys, I mean, this quarterback race is wide open. I mean, we all thought right now that Hampton was the clear front runner, and I think even if he's back for this weekend scrimmage, he's missed out on a ton of reps. And you know, I just don't know where that stands right now. So we'll obviously keep everybody updated on that. So any thoughts so far?
Well, on the injury to Hampton, if that doesn't happen, my guess is that he's still your clear number one.
Yes.
So this is all predicated on how severe the injury is.
Right, but he's not getting the reps that he needs right now. So they play in 2 weeks. I mean, would you throw him out there? Yeah, I don't know. And so,
did you see a quarterback that you think could take the field in a real game and perform?
No.
There you go.
I mean, not that I would say right now is ready to play a Division I snap outside of Hampton. Hampton, when he's in, he looks the part. He's your quarterback.
So he's got to get well.
Yes, and that's why it's a little.
What about the offensive line, Demo? Did they protect the quarterbacks?
They allowed 9 sacks over the course of the scrimmage, and they really haven't – can't do that face. They haven't settled on a starting five, so that's getting into point 10. But you know, I can't keep sighing. It's going to make me laugh. No, but the biggest problem with the offensive line was – and Anderson announced this – was that Broderick Roman, who was their one returning starter – announced he's retiring for football.
Why? Why is that?
Yeah, well, it's his sixth season. You know, he's been banged up a lot. It just said he's done.
I don't know.
And so that's a big deal. My problem with the offensive line wasn't necessarily the 9 sacks because I think that doesn't necessarily mean the offensive line is bad. This is the problem. They do not have a starting five right now. So all throughout Saturday, almost every set of offensive line that was in there was a different offensive line. For example, you'll have, let's just say we three were offensive linemen. You'll have Kelly, Bob, Dima, and Joe and, you know, whoever else.
Yeah.
And then the next line will be Kelly, Bob, Joe, blank, blank. And then
right.
the next line will be Bob, Joe, you know.
Yeah.
It's nobody the same, which to me is the reason why they allowed so many sacks, because here's the problem with that. You don't have any communication. You don't have any routine. You don't have any rhythm. And that's a big deal with offensive line, communication, rhythm. So, and I asked Kyle Cephalo, we talked to him today, like, how quick are you from naming those starting five on the offensive line? Because you got to start somewhere. You know, as much as they say these competitions are deep and stuff, we're getting really close to a football game, and you're going to have some kind of answer, even if your number ones, your first string aren't your first string in the third game, you got to have some continuity there. So that to me was on the offensive line. Receivers. I thought Elijah Singleton has stapled himself as your deep ball threat. That was a core question we had. Who was going to be that guy? We knew the guys who were going to get those, you know, drag routes, kind of those outs between Jalen Hines, you know, Grant Page. Elijah Singleton, the Arkansas transfer, 6 passes, 175 yards receiving on Saturday. He had catches of 29, 49, and 66 yards. So to me, he's your deep ball threat, and the passes to him were good. The wide receiver room continues to look the best to me. Jalen Hines, 8 receptions, 81 yards, and Anderson said that Southern Miss could legitimately rotate 7 to 9 guys there. Davis Dalton, really? Okay, we got to go to the next scrimmage, but and the next segment, but really quickly on Davis Dalton. Hamstring injury for him. He did not play on this Saturday scrimmage, and he did not practice today. And that's obviously the injury that he's dealt with throughout his entire time here at Southern Miss.
All right, when we come back, we're going to continue our analysis of the first full contact scrimmage with Southern Miss football. We'll be right back after this commercial message. Stay with us, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air from the Southern Bank Core Studio.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. I want to thank Eagle Tire West for all they do on our program. They're located on Highway 98 West. That's where Matt Warren and his great staff sell Goodyear and other major brand tires. They do full service work on cars and trucks, including air conditioning work. And they're big Southern Miss supporters. We really do appreciate all they do. Hey, Forest Health reminds you now in this heat, take care of yourself. Be really careful about your health. Be sure you get an annual physical, eat right, exercise, stay out of these dangerous temperatures, and if you run into problems, rely on Forest Health. They'll help you with expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org, great medical facility, very, very lucky.
And it has come to my attention, Bob, that beer is not a form of hydration.
It is not, Kelly.
It is not. That's good to know.
I've never understood how people can get out in 100-degree weather and drink beer. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, one or two or six, but after that, you really do need to start thinking about
Well, you can hear that good medical advice from Kelly again later today on the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast, where he's telling you it's okay to drink beer in 100-degree weather. Apple, Audible, Spotify, my God. Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Alexa. You're about as much a doctor as that guy running for Senate up in Michigan.
No, I'm telling you, it's not good for hydration.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. I wanted to clarify
that.
Not good to drink alcohol in 100-degree weather.
If you're worried about hydration.
Right. Dima, you're not playing golf in this weather, are you?
Yeah, I am.
Dima.
It's fine.
Seriously.
I played yesterday at about 3:30.
I happen to know he has a significant life insurance policy.
Do you? Yeah.
So he's good.
He's looking a little less weary this morning than he has been in the past.
Yeah, Kari said, no, go ahead, play for 8 hours. Out there.
Yeah. What's Kelly's number again? All right, Dima, so you've painted in the first segment a pretty gloomy picture, 9 sacks and an injured quarterback. Let's continue with the good news.
Can I ask a question, though, first? You were talking about the receivers.
Yes.
And how the receiving room looks pretty good. From what you saw on Saturday, is it that the receivers are really good, that the defensive backs have struggled, a combination of the two?
I think it's a combination of the two. I really do believe in this receiver room. I think you got some guys there between Elijah Singleton, Jalen Himes. You know, Marius Saunders looked really good. If you know, Davis Dalton can come back, you know, that it just sucks for him because he's the guy who – you know, returned here. You know, he's been injured almost all of his career with hamstring issues. Represents Southern Miss at media day, and you know, and see him in a red jersey, and then announce that it's a hamstring injury. You just hate it for the guy. But Anderson did say they expect him back by week one, so we'll see. And then you have Grant Page, you know, a guy who stayed here, you know, that Huff brought. He stayed here to play, to start, and he seems like your outside receiver starting. So I do believe in the receivers. On the secondary, though, a lot of missed tackles. So a lot of these yards probably could have been, for example, a 15-yard pass could have been a 7-yard pass, you know, if the tackling was a lot better. Now you do see that a lot in fall camp. I get it, you know. But the amount of missed tackles, even Anderson said in the post-game press conference that he was concerned by the amount of missed tackles. On the offensive line, two more things on the offensive line, and then we'll move on. You know, obviously a lot of people are wondering about what kind of impact the three new players they got from the Colorado ruling had. Now, Greg Nunnery did play on Saturday, so he was playing at left guard, which last year they tried to play him at left tackle, and he's just not built as a left tackle, so they're going to move him inside the left guard. So that's interesting. Alawi Maui is also back. He did not play in the scrimmage, but he is back on campus, and I saw him this morning without a red jersey on. So he was participating in offensive line drills. Jameer Lewis made an immediate impact. He got in for one play. He came in. We were like, oh, there's Jameer Lewis. He's playing, and he got a sack.
Blew it up
immediately. Yeah. And like I said, you know, if he can be back to even 75% of what he was last year, he's probably automatically their best defender. I thought the defensive front seven in particular, that was a big problem coming out of the spring, and they went out and got a couple new linebackers, Tyler Laster especially, in the linebacker room. I thought that front seven looked the best that I've seen that front seven look. Like I said, they disrupted the offensive line, 9 sacks. They also did not allow the rush to really get going at all. 13 carries for 36 yards for the leading rusher. I mean, that's good stuff for your front seven. Tyler Lasseter led the team in tackles. He had an interception. Probably still had a pick six. So that's a player that everybody needs to get to know. He's pushing Mathis Haygood right now for a starting role. I think Tyler Lasseter's almost knocked Mathis, you know, to either another position or not where he was coming into fall camp. The running game was quiet, like I said. Another interesting thing is this: during the whole camp, and we're 10 practices in now, the team has not ran any red zone work at all. No red zone work, nothing inside the 20s. The scrimmage was specifically 20 to 30, 30 to 20. There's not been a single any red zone work at all, so that's something of a concern. So we asked Anderson about that, and he said that they're going to spend the next week leading up to the next scrimmage, which is on Saturday, working heavily on situational red zone football. I went to practice this morning. I didn't see much of it, and it was a very short practice, which makes sense. So I guess after all of that, my overall takeaway is that the receivers and the front seven are probably the biggest positives coming out of that scrimmage. Concerns, offensive line. Not necessarily that they gave up 9 sacks, which I know is like a glaring number, but I really think it's because you just don't have a starting five. You don't have anybody with communication because they were running a lot of twists and turns and stuff like that. It wasn't just straight rushes getting sacks. It was a lot of miscommunication on the offensive line. And then the turnovers. If Hampton's not your guy, your two backup quarterbacks have to not put the ball in danger. So
here's one thing you said that is concerning to me. I think we all know the last few years it's been very difficult for Southern Miss to mount any kind of running game. And so all the pressure ends up on the quarterback, and we all know the outcome. You didn't see any running back production. Now, is that to blame the offensive line, or is that really good defensive play, or does that concern you that here we go again with no real ground game?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I thought the offensive line got some decent push on the run game. I just thought the front seven played really well, and that's something that we just haven't seen, and that's an encouragement to me because I don't think the running game is going to be bad by any means, like bad. Like, they got some good backs back there, Steven Robinson, Robert Briggs, but the front seven to me was probably the biggest positive coming out of that.
And I know the last week or so, you've heard from Marchant Kenny, you've heard from other players that the sooner the Blake Anderson can name a quarterback, the better, so that you know who the leader is, they can get the reps in. Well, now, however severe this injury is, to Hampton really throws a monkey wrench into the works, because, you know, how serious is it? And what was he going to be your guy? And if this injury is serious enough, Now he might not be the guy. And then what do you do?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think if Hampton would have played like they were expecting him to play on Saturday, they probably would have announced a starting quarterback today. I really thought that. But now, I mean, if I had to guess, I would assume it would be game week before you can really announce a starter.
Liddy would be the number two guy.
I think so.
Yeah.
And Liddy.
He's got snaps.
And he's used to that role. And actually, I think under the circumstances, played pretty well when he was called upon.
Well, let's not get too upset too soon. That's first scrimmage. They got two more weeks to get ready for Alcorn.
Yeah, and that is something that, you know, Cephalo and Anderson said, that, you know, generally speaking, if the calendar wasn't moved like it is this year, next week would be game one. Next week would be game week.
Yeah, I'm glad they moved it back a week.
They do have an extra week. Now, how much they can practice during that week still remains up to debate. I try to get some answers on that, but there wasn't a lot of answers because they do start back in school. They have to treat it almost like a game week, but they do get an extra week of preparation of some sort.
It's good to see the students back on campus, too. I know they don't start classes until a week from today, but, you know, students wanting to get settled into their new digs and so on. It just brings life back to Hattiesburg.
It's a fun part of the year.
It sure is. Love having the students back.
You hear the band practicing, you know. And
yes.
It's a great time of year. You would like for it to be a little cooler.
That's for sure.
For it to be a little more fall-like weather, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
maybe mid-October we'll be lucky.
All right, we've got a great week coming up, and we're really going to be diving into Sunbelt football this week. We're going to be hearing from head coaches at Troy, South Alabama, and Arkansas State. That's all coming this week. Now, where else, what other radio show do you know, Sander, you can go to and hear all these football coaches like this?
None.
I don't know of any.
None. That's why the Eagle Hour is – That's why we have so much fun doing this show, too, is we go the extra mile. Jordan Mitchell, a former player for Southern Miss.
He'll be next.
He's going to be in our next segment.
You know what's the greatest thing about the show in its current status is we have this young, very good sports reporter on our show, and he goes out in the heat and brings all this information to the old guys sitting back here in the air-conditioned studio.
And I think he's already plotting our demise. Beware the Ides of March.
He's got the youth and the energy. You and I used to do this kind of thing, but those days are in the past.
Yeah, we talked about, you know, how Dima, he and his colleagues will be out there now every Friday nights, Thursday nights, and some of these weird Tuesday night games that they'll be out there. But you're accurate, Bob. You and I both did that when we were that age. We can't imagine doing it now. But
no, that's why we have Dima.
Everybody kind of.
And we're glad to have him.
That's for sure.
All right, as we head to the break, Jordan Mitchell will be up next on the Eagle Hour. MCS Home Center reminds you it may be too hot outside right now to do a lot of home remodeling, but whatever you need, whether it be outside or inside, they have the supplies and the materials you need. MCS Home Center is located in Bellevue. It's Hattiesburg's new improvement home center. Local folks eager to help you. 7329 Highway 98 West. Now, here's something you could do on a hot day. You could go by Mo Bay Beignet Company, get a cold coffee and some delicious beignets with white sugar on top. That'd be a good heat afternoon treat. Mo Bay Beignet Company. When we come back, Jordan Mitchell on the Eagle Hour.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody, welcome back. D-Bat down on Hardy Street. Great place to take your kids. Get them out of the heat. Get them in the batting cage. Get them in a training course at D-Bat. Or if you're an adult athlete like Kelly, I think he works out there on a pretty regular basis. And they'll fine-tune you to be the best you can be in your sport. He actually came in the building today, and he had a napkin in his hand. And he's wiping his face kind of like an old lady sitting on the porch drinking lemonade, and we ask him, what is wrong with you? Why do you come in here sweating like that? Dima, what did he tell us that we couldn't keep a straight face?
He said he just came out of the bathroom.
That's not what I said. I said that I just got done looking at my tax return is what happened.
Now, what he said was he had been in anatomy's working out, to which Dima and I looked at each other and just giggled.
And then he came out of the bathroom.
talking
to all those people in anatomy is stressful, doggone.
Yeah, I could say that it broke you out into a sweat. Jordan Mitchell can probably identify. Jordan, former wide receiver with the Golden Eagles, played for the great Todd Monken, among other coaches. Jordan, you wouldn't have believed it either if Kelly had told you he was sweating because he had been working out at anatomies, would you?
That probably would have been on the bottom of the list.
That's exactly right.
On the list at least.
Right. And then on top of that, he's wearing a Cincinnati Bengals shirt, and God knows nobody associated with that team works out. You can tell by the way.
Hey, I will say he's been faithful.
Jordan,
he's always been a Bengals fan.
That is for sure. Hey, man, welcome to the show. Jordan Mitchell, wide receiver for the Golden Eagles, played for the great Todd Monken, who I watched about half of their preseason game. And, Jordan, it's got to be pretty cool to play for a guy that's now an NFL head coach. I know you're probably hoping he does very well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Just to start, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
But, yeah, Todd Monken, he was definitely coming in. Graduated from Oak Grove. He definitely took me under his wing, and he actually he kind of let his whole coaching staff kind of is up there too. I know my receiver coach Wise, he's also with Todd Monken with the Browns now, so it's cool to see the growth of my coaches.
Yeah. What made him such a good coach, you think, Jordan?
I think not only just like the football genius, but how he ran the program in general, and then also how he like just took care of us. Like I just remember vividly being like fresh, the entire team being fresh and ready every Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great coach, no question about it.
But there were some frustrations in his tenure. You know, there was kind of a make or break point. Yeah. Where was the turning point, Jordan, in his coaching tenure, where you guys finally decided, hey, not only can we win, but we're going to win.
Yeah. I think just having top to bottom, just being bought in. I know, which is probably most coaches, but just getting rid of certain cancers, no matter what it be. It might be a player, coach, whatever the case may be. It's either you're either on the bus or you're not, and you're bought in. So I know Coach Woodfin on the strength staff. He's now with the Titans. So that's just another one that like we had all the tools to be successful. I know coming in my freshman year, and that was when we really turned it around and really were to apply it and win games.
And I want to talk to you about your athleticism in general, because really, pound for pound, one of the greatest pure athletes to ever come out of Oak Grove High School. You played on a couple of state championship baseball teams. You were the center fielder on the 2014 team. Obviously made quite a name for yourself in football. There really wasn't any sport that you couldn't have played. What was it eventually, Jordan, that said football is the way I'm going to go? Is it the fact that your dad also played for Southern Miss back in the day?
I think that's probably going to be one of them, but I think the biggest thing, I think I just enjoyed playing football. I mean, yes, baseball is great. I know, especially know at Pete Taylor Park, especially what they've built. But I think just the X's and O's and going against that guy across from you, it's just, there's something different about football than baseball. But I definitely enjoyed baseball as well. But I think I'd probably say I was probably better at baseball, but I just enjoyed top to bottom football more.
With your speed and quickness, what about playing DB? Could you have played on the defensive side of the ball?
So when I came in, Pete Golden was DC there, and so we met a few times, and he was like, I want you to play /DB, and I was kind of like, I wasn't sure. Like, I was on a couple of, like, Hail Mary packages for at Oak Grove, and like when the other team had to score, throw it up. But yeah, I actually started the spring when I first got there at Southern Miss at /DB, and then they made the switch. So I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know if that means I didn't have it in me or what, but it all played out. So
in the current landscape of college football, Jordan, do you like it? You hate it? Or are you kind of mixed emotions?
I would say mixed emotions, only because I mean I was right there. Southern Miss, Oak Grove was like right 2 miles away from each other, so I think the NIL probably would have benefited a lot in my favor back in the day. But I mean, I'm all for paying the players. I think they just gotta hone in some roles as far as like staying, kind of being somewhat invested, especially when there's so many NIL like investing in you to play at their school. I think there has to be some kind of loyalty to that.
Yeah, if you're going to leave, then maybe some of that money needs to be returned to the school or something along those lines.
So, Jordan, I guess you're really upset that you're missing these 100-degree weather practices right now. Do you miss that a lot?
I don't miss that at all. I miss suffering with the guys, but I don't miss it specifically.
Yeah.
But I would go back and do it all again.
Would you? Now, our man Demo was at the scrimmage Saturday, and obviously he can speak up. But I'm just curious. He's describing to us how they're trying to meld this team together with all these different 70-plus new players. Kind of put in perspective how hard that will be, and that will, in fact, it just takes some snaps, some game snaps for these guys to get to where they're comfortable around one another and performing at their maximum.
Yep. I would definitely say the biggest thing in all of that, which is also the most challenging, is just the chemistry piece of it. Like you said, there's 70-plus new players on the team that would all come from different schools, maybe different how they go about certain practices and everything. So I think that's the biggest thing chemistry-wise, and that's where I think that the teams that I was on while at Southern Miss is, like, we were very close. Like, we still actually just got done with a fantasy draft with 10 to 12 of us that still talk all different positions. So I think having that chemistry is probably the biggest key. Staying after with the quarterback receivers, for instance, just getting that, just because 1 to 2 seconds off, that's fourth down or that's a new set of down. So chemistry is definitely the biggest thing that's going to play a factor.
And Jordan, it would have been real easy for you to walk away from the rigors of athletics, but you're still very active, physically fit. I know you do a lot of CrossFit. You and your wife are both still very active, and I hate it that you guys look so terrible. No,
yeah, I still have that competitive edge, and I feel like I found it with CrossFit. So I'm actually a head coach at a gym. So everybody I see is looking to get better. So I'm kind of on the other side of it too. So I just love seeing – that's kind of my life motto and our family's motto is just 1% better physically and spiritually. So
what's the difference between being the player side and the coach side now? What's the difference?
I don't have to suffer as much when I'm on the coach's side. I'm just telling them.
I'm telling them what to do.
So, but I always try to get the workout in so I can relate and tell them, you know, hey, this probably isn't going to feel the best. Just know it only lasts this long, and it's for your own good.
And you've got two beautiful daughters, Jordan. What if they ever came up to you and said, Dad, I want nothing to do with sports?
I feel like I would be hurt, but I feel like they're gonna have to do something. Coach Hoffman was big on, like, football. Yeah, football is football, but it teaches you so much about, like, life in general. And things aren't going to go your way. They are going to go your way, but you still gotta wake up every day and get after it. So they'll play something. They got to play something to learn some of those life lessons.
Discipline and being accountable to other people, et cetera.
Yep, exactly. Exactly right. They don't have an option with my mom. She'll get after them. I'll just send them to her house.
Well, you said that in football, sometimes things don't go your way. We're hoping that this year there will be more things that go our way than not, but you just never know. Looking forward to football season?
Oh, yes, sir, for sure. I'll be there September 5th, Alcorn. I know we got a big alumni, so looking forward to seeing a lot of the guys that I haven't seen in a while and talked to. But, yeah, just taking it. I think they just got to take it one game at a time, one practice. And like I said, I would go back and do it all again, regardless of the outcome, just being around those guys. So it always is a lot more fun when you win. So you just got to go 1-0 every week.
All right, Jordan. We appreciate your input, man. We're always good to hear from you. And we thank you for coming on the radio program today.
Yes, sir. Thank you all for having me. Enjoy the rest of y'all's day and week.
Same to you.
Southern Miss to the top.
Former wide receiver Jordan Mitchell on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. When we come back, we'll wrap things up, news and notes, as we head into the end of the first day of the week. As we do, want to remind you about DBAT down on Hardy Street. Great place to go for baseball, softball training, sports training for adults, any kind. DBAT, Hardy Street, great facility. Lucky to have them. Super Talk Eagle Hour continues next. Stay with us.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, football just 2 weeks away. If you're going to have a tailgate, you want good food, well,
yes.
I'll tell you, there's really not much choice, is there, Kelly?
Well, if you want the convenience, I mean, you want to be able to enjoy the fellowship of your friends around, leave it to Dickies, man. They've been doing this for years. You're not in the business as long as they've been in it if you don't do it right.
Right. They have catered numerous baseball weekends for me, and I'll tell you, I've never been disappointed. They do a fabulous job. But give them a call now. Don't wait until the Thursday before the game. Go ahead now. Be reaching out to Dickies here in Hattiesburg and get your tailgates set up.
I tell people all the time, you know, that I have tailgates ordered through them all the time for me and my friends, and they said, well, I thought there was a five-person minimum. So apparently
they'll obviously do
two or three
for just one. When Kelly gets together with all his friends.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Also, if you need some cash, you got some old silver, gold laying around the house, maybe some old jewelry, some old coins, take it to Marty Vick, Jewel Masters, Highway 98 West. Marty's been buying gold and silver longer than anyone. He really keeps up with the market. Going to give you a fair price. It's going to be confidential, and it's going to be fast. Take your gold and silver to Jewel Masters, and don't be fooled by the Johnny Come Latelys. All right, gentlemen, Demon News and Notes.
Soccer is in action. We finally have some, you know, games to discuss. Southern Miss women's soccer back in action. They split the weekend games. Alabama State on the road on Thursday night to open the season 4-0 finish, or full time, as you would say in soccer terminology.
But it's not 4-0, Dima. It's 4-0.
Nil.
Yes,
thank you. 4-0 against Alabama State. So that was the first win of Danny Owen's tenure here, and 1-0. And then yesterday they played at McNeese and lost that game 1-0.
There you go.
Over there. So split the weekend games. They now turn their attention to Sunday's match at Mississippi State in Starkville on Sunday. So 1-1 for women's soccer, you know, as they start the season. It's just great to be talking about actual football.
It was brutally hot on the pitch down in Lake Charles, Louisiana, where the Eagles took on the Cowgirls of McNeese State.
Yeah.
Anytime you talk soccer, you know, you got to develop that British accent like in the World Cup.
Got you.
So next Sunday against Mississippi State.
All I can say is, you know, we've been talking about football being hot. Oh, my gosh. I mean, they're playing these games at 1 in the afternoon or something like that.
And they never stop running in soccer.
Right.
I'll say that.
Yeah, it's like, there's some tough, tough ladies out there. All right, the AP poll, the AP preseason poll is out. And no mention of Tulane, by the way. No, I'm just kidding. No mention of Tulane, no Memphis. Ohio State, number 1. Oregon, number 2. Georgia, number 3. Notre Dame, number 4. Texas, number 5. Indiana, 6. Miami, 7. A&M, 8. Ole Miss, 9. And Oklahoma, 10. That's the top 10.
Could you cram a few more SEC teams in that top 10?
Well,
I'm really tried.
Or Big 10.
Well, there's only 4 SEC teams. And I don't think an SEC team got a first-place vote.
I do see Miami's what, ACC?
7, yeah.
How in the world is Indiana the 6th ranked team in the country?
Because they won the national championship last year.
Well, I mean, no, he's saying
they should be ranked higher.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm yeah,
saying.
Not
yeah.
lower.
Yeah, I think they should be number 1.
Personally. And then, if you take that AP poll and transfer it into popularity of who wants to see who play, Ticketmaster put out a little quiz this morning that the 3 highest tickets, now just say you don't have any tickets and you just want to buy one.
I'm going to guess 1.
To go to a college, some of the big college games this year, which ticket do you think would be the most expensive one to buy?
LSU Ole Miss.
That's on the list, but it's not number 1. That is number 3.
Ohio State Michigan.
That is number 1.
Yeah.
Ohio State and Michigan. Is that game
in Columbus?
It is. Okay, it's in Columbus.
Because, again, it is the best rivalry in college football, as much as people don't want to talk about it. How big are the ticket prices to Alabama-Auburn? They probably weren't in the top 10.
I did not know it because they just listed the top three. The second one is the Red River rivalry.
Okay. I was going to say Texas, Ohio State.
Texas and Oklahoma.
Okay.
Were actually, was
I
actual,
can see that.
Was, that's always a big rivalry, too. Yeah. You usually played at the Cotton Bowl, I think, for years.
Yes, they do. They still do that.
Okay.
Yeah. And that should be a good game this year. They should both be in the top 10.
You talk about two schools that hate one another. Oklahoma. My son's a graduate of Oklahoma. There's no love between Oklahoma and Texas, let me tell you.
Average ticket price for LSU and Ole Miss?
$500?
No, actually, it was $327.
See, that's not that bad. I just don't. I mean, I'm just saying. That's not.
How much is he getting paid to do this show, Bob?
In retrospect, for big college football games, that is not terrible. I'm just saying.
This is why I don't go to big college football games, I guess, because I'm not paying $350.
Well, there's the tickets. Then there's the
fees.
Concession yeah. prices, parking.
And then there's the fact you can watch it at home.
Hotels and motels.
And if you can watch it at home.
In the air conditioning.
In the air conditioning.
Where it's not going to be 128.
With Dickie's Barbecue.
Yes.
All you can eat. Yeah,
that's right.
All you can eat.
Well, I've been waiting for Miss Angela's chicken and dumplings, but no.
Uh-oh.
Do we have to wait now until she sings?
Is it true?
I think it is.
That's what he was sweating about.
Yeah. Yeah, he was worried about that.
Is this where she...
It's a little further.
Got to wait one more little round.
I can't.
Oh, okay.
I can't do it.
Yes.
Bumper music.
Steve Miller's messing me up.
Kelnack will be here in a couple of weeks with his football previews.
He better be.
Yes.
Because we've been plugging the hell out of it.
Yeah, a lot of pressure.
All right, we're going to take a look at Troy tomorrow. We continue our countdown. So we'll have the head football coach at Troy on. We have a great guest for you all week. And we're glad you join us every week at 1 o'clock. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.